Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to another new episode of Undying Light. I am your host, Pastor Alex, and we are back at it once again with your Wednesday social media series. And I think after much consideration, I am going to end it next week. I thought about doing a few weeks on the Facebook side and then, you know, having kind of like one wrap-up episode, but I really kind of found myself this morning while I was in the gym just pondering the episode in of itself, and I thought, boy, it really becomes pretty redundant once I've gone through Instagram and Twitter, and now looking at Facebook, it's just a lot of redundancy. It's a lot of the same material, just a different face. So I want to kind of just examine, if I can, the construct of Facebook and some of the differences in how, you know, the influences can be taken here versus the other platforms. And then I think we'll kind of wrap this series next week and we'll talk a little bit about some of the, you know, the pros and the cons to it, and hopefully encourage you to be a discerning Christian as you are adventuring into this avenue of social media. So as always, I always advise you never to get all of your theology from social media. I always advise you to be in a good, grounded, confessional church, whether you're Lutheran or, you know, Reformed, Calvinist, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Anglican, whatever it may be, Catholic for the one Catholic listener I have. Get yourself in a good, grounded church, one that preaches scripture week in and week out, one that gives you, you know, the gospel. And I say that with so much earnest that you must find a church that can preach to you the entire, you know, the entire gospel, not just the works side of it, as I know some of the Reformed camps I've come from, you know, rely heavily on, but preach the entire gospel, give you the confession and absolution, give you the sacraments, give you Christ. And that is my urge. And if you obviously listen to the show long enough, you'll know I'm Lutheran. And so my perspective is very much centered on this is Christ for you. And that is really kind of the motto in my ministry. And I think that helps with understanding in the greater complexities of scripture. It's that Christ came for you. Christ lived his life for you, took your sins and died for you and rose from the grave for you. He gives himself to you in baptism and he gives himself to you in the sacrament of the altar. And so this is why we are very adamant as Lutherans to say this is Christ for you. So it is Holy Week, and today's Wednesday, so tomorrow would be Monday, Thursday for the Lutherans, and then we have Good Friday, and Silent Saturday, and Easter or Resurrection Sunday. And so tomorrow as Lutherans, we partake in, or well, yeah, tomorrow if you're listening to this on Wednesday, it's technically Tuesday as I record it. So Thursday, we would come together and we have a traditional service where we acknowledge the institution of the Lord's Supper, and then we proceed at the close of service to read Psalm 22 as we take all the vestments and everything off of the altar and the pulpit and the lectern and myself. We have a cross in there that we take the vestments off of as well. And so we have the stripping of the altar is what we call it. And then everything's in black through Friday's service and into Saturday. And then Sunday, everything is back to white as our vestment colors change to the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's a pretty big week for Christians. And, you know, another reason, too, is just, boy, you know, rolling out three episodes a week is a lot of work, especially when I'm juggling two other jobs. So I want to just kind of close this series down here with today on Facebook. And I really just want to kind of talk about a little bit, you know, the differences. Obviously, with Instagram, you know, it's a platform used to share pictures and videos. And then there's comments and there could be conversation there. Instagram, I find, is really good. One aspect to distinguish between the others, and that is you can have group chats set up, and so it makes for community aspect really to be a good thing. Facebook has something similar. You can do groups and or pages if you would, but it's done in a series of posts. Now you can use Facebook Messenger for group messaging and things like that, and that works fine, but I think Instagram is a little bit more intuitive because it just is more seamless. It's all built into the app, and so that's one advantage over Facebook, but that's, you know, negligent in terms of what we're talking about today. What we're looking at, obviously, is the ability to share content. And I think Instagram gives you that ability to reach a greater platform because younger people are there versus Facebook. And I think it's a more attractive platform, you know, similar to TikTok. And so TikTok and Instagram have a similar construct, and they attract relatively the same audience. You know, TikTok might be a little bit for the younger group, and that's really how it is, you know, displayed. Especially it's programmed by, you know, the Chinese to, you know, run the algorithm to essentially indoctrinate our youth into just this mindless, dumb down version of reality. And so if you go to TikTok and like all the top videos are just people dancing and doing stupid things, it's like, you know, there's only so much the human brain can possibly take of this stuff. And I'm seeing a lot of that in the reels on Instagram. I'm finding myself just so burnt out on just the mundane content. There's very little creativity and it just becomes repetitive, and I find myself losing the desire for many things because it really dumbs us out as a society. And that's the purpose behind social media, in my opinion, is to distract us from the greater things going on in the world. And I think it's done a great job at, you know, it's especially taking on the church and causing problems within the church. And we see that, you know, with this, with the younger audiences having influences by outside forces, whether they are Christian forces and they're teaching you things such as the, you know, that the Trinity isn't biblical, or the sacraments aren't really sacraments or ordinances, or they don't really matter entirely. Or, you know, they talk about now big thing again is modalism, right? Where Jesus is just simply God the Father in the form of Jesus. And so we see a lot of these things popping back up, creeping back into the church. And social media is a great avenue for these heresies to travel on because they can reach the masses. And it's one of those things that it doesn't matter whether it is shown to 300,000 people and 290,000 reject it, but those 10,000 accept it. You know, that's the purpose of it. It is just to throw the dart out into the world blindly and, you know, reach whatever audience it's going to reach. And I've had videos in my reel or on my feed on Instagram go from, you know, a couple hundred views to millions of views. And the algorithm is so crazy that some videos will just hit and other videos just don't. And some will take off and others just flounder. And I think a lot of it, especially with the Christian circles, is if the message in of itself is going to damage the image of Christianity, then it seems to do better than a true, authentic offering of the gospel. And I've noticed that when I have videos that I am either talking or I share a sermon clip or something of that nature, my reach is dwindled tremendously. I go from, 24,000 followers on Instagram, where I can get a reach of 50 or 60,000 people, down to just a couple thousand or even just a few hundred. And then videos that I share that might be a false teaching or something, I can get those, tens of thousands of views. And the algorithm just doesn't make sense. And I guess now I think about a lot of it, looking back on my time on social media, it certainly does, because the message of Christianity is damaging to the architects of social media. Because if we were really true Christians, we would use this platform to not bicker and argue, though we do. We would use these platforms to share Christ, glorify Christ, and not waste our time dwindling our fingers on these apps. And I speak for myself. I speak guilty today because, I find myself often, spending more time watching reels and doing these things than I should be doing. These things are damaging to myself and to my mentality. And I really need to find a way to just be better at my time management. And these apps suck you in. And they are a great distractor because they show you content that you will like, based upon how you the contents you view, the pages you view, the things you like. If you watch a full reel all the way through, it's going to show you more of those reels. And it does a great job at distracting you from the things that are important. And, one of the things for me, outside of, my devotion to my family and to the church and things like that, for my own personal self, is writing my books. And I find that often I'm sitting through the day, spinning my wheels and reels, when I could be putting 5 or 10 or 20 or 100 words down on paper, and I would be, 80% of the way done with my book versus only 45%. And I kick myself every time. And so I think, social media in and of itself, the architects behind it, have done a great job at designing it to be a distracting element. It's the quote-unquote escapism, right? And this is the replacement to video games. People want to harp on kids and adults playing video games, but here we are spending all of our time on social media. What's the difference? At least with a video game, you're trying to accomplish something. what are you trying to get on Instagram? More likes, more follows, more views? You're not earning anything. They're not paying you money. And it flabbergasts me how some people would have the audacity to compare the two. But anyways, we have become great distractors from the things that are relevant and important to us in our lives. And social media is a massive void filler in all of that. And I always find myself too, let me ask you this question just rhetorically. If you are an avid social media user and you pick up your phone, let's say you have a day off, you don't have anything else going on, but you pick up your phone and you watch reels, and then an hour goes by and you watch reels, and another hour goes by, and then you realize you've wasted a few hours watching reels, and you put your phone down. Do you feel empty, or do you feel fulfilled? Do you feel like you've accomplished something in those 2 hours, or do you feel like the gap that you sought to fill is still empty? And I find us asking ourselves that question because I think if we would rather spend that 2 hours, or even 30 minutes of those 2 hours, just reading scripture, spend those 30 minutes in devotion and prayer and things like that, you would find greater fulfillment in life than wasting that time on social media. Not to say that you don't or can't spend time on these apps, because, who am I to judge and who am I to tell you what to do with your life? But I'm just trying to advocate for a better approach to these from a Christian perspective, because I see it all the time. And what I've noticed too is not just the Christians standing against the false teachers or advocating for false teaching. It's Christians that are fighting with each other over petty things. Like right now on Twitter, the hot doctrine is Christ is King. you know, it's the thing that's trending. And so all these Christians are fighting back and forth with who can say this and who can't. And then you've got the people who are, you know, not Christians making these statements that it's an anti-Semitism statement because it excludes the Jews and blah, 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 blah. You know, when Paul writes it in Philippians in the second chapter that Christ, that every knee on earth and every tongue will confess that Christ is King. You know, this is the statement. This is what we profess as Christians. And yes, it is an inclusive statement to Christianity. It excludes Muslims and Jews and Hindus and Buddhists and atheists. It excludes all of them, but all of them will bow on the day of judgment and confess that Christ is Lord. And so it's this bickering on Twitter of who can say it and who can't and who and should we say it or is this a personal proclamation? It's exhaustive. Like, you people need to find better things to do with your life. Now, I'm all for talking and discussing theology and doctrine. I'm all for it. I think it's a great, those are great platforms to, you know, express concerns or ask questions or engage with people who, you know, you may have a disagreement with. But 95% of the time, it's never that. It's, you have a different opinion than me, and therefore you are wrong, and let's fight about it. And you see that from those progressive aspects. You see that from the conservative aspects. It's just everywhere. It doesn't matter what camp you fall into. You find it in the Lutheran camp. You find it in the Reformed camp. You find it in the Catholics. You find it everywhere. And it's exhaustive. And, you know, so when I think about social media in of itself, and I look back at the, you know, the doctrines that we try to confess as a church, and I think about all of this stuff, it's like, has social media damaged or hindered the church? And I don't think so entirely, because if I put my phone away and I go into my church tomorrow or on Thursday or Friday or whatever, Sunday morning, and I examine all of those people in the pews, and I would go up to them and ask, hey, what do you think about this problem on social media? They wouldn't care. Now, I would even challenge that to the younger folks in my congregation, that they probably don't care too much, because they're here in church to hear about Christ being preached. And the bitter arguments and the petty fighting on social media doesn't matter to them. Now, on a Tuesday afternoon, it might be different. You know, when you're bored and you got nothing else to do, you want to go pick a fight, sure, whatever. But what I'm getting at is, it's like there's two sets of realities. Like, there's the reality of social media where everybody's encompassed and it's just an entrenched fighting between Christians and the atheists and the secular versus the church and all these things. You know, all these fights are going on. You know, I think about the Hobbit and the Battle of the Five Armies. It's like the Battle of the Thousand Armies here on social media, and it doesn't matter what platform you're on. And then that's the one reality. But then you got the reality of the real world, where none of that matters when I step into the pulpit. What goes on my phone matters nothing when I stand with my Bible open in front of my congregation preaching to them. And I think we as Christians have to be better at understanding and discerning these times and saying, well, is this something really worth my adventure? Is this something really worth my time? And I say all that because I just really just thought heavily about it today in the gym. And I just was so adamant about doing a couple episodes on Facebook and then wrapping the series up. And I'm like, I really am to a point with Instagram, especially because they keep coming back on posts from 3 and 4 years ago saying I violated this rule and I violated that rule. And they keep, you know, preventing me from posting. They keep, you know, hammering my reach. You know, in fact, with 24,000 followers, I can only get 200 people to view my stories. That's ridiculous. You know, and it aggravates me because, like, I have no reach. My page is not shown to anybody outside of my follower group. And that is because I violated something 4 years ago, you know, a post. And you can't argue it. You can't retract it. And it just, and what was hilarious is my most recent thing was a video that PragerU did talking about how Jesus wouldn't attribute or wouldn't recognize transgenderism. And this post was like 2.5 years ago. And I get hammered on it this last week. And so I really think it's like, boy, I could spend more time reading. I could spend more time writing. I could spend a considerable amount more time with my family and engaging in conversation, spend more time with my congregation. I can spend more time just doing things that, you know, would otherwise I would probably find counterproductive, or maybe, you know, going against those things by spending time on social media. You know, when you're like checking, oh, did my post get enough likes, or has it gotten the reach that I wanted, or did it stir the pot a little bit? You know, none of that matters in the end. You know, you're not going to get to heaven and God's going to say, yeah, you know what? You only had 18,000 followers on Instagram, and the requirement for heaven is 20,200. You know, it's like, no, none of that matters. You know, does your conduct matter? Sure. Because, you know, are you, you know, I think most often not, the person that you are on social media is a representation of the person that you truly are in real life. Now, whether you would say the things in real life that you do on social media is a completely different game. You know, I'm sure that, you know, somebody like Mason, who runs his mouth on Twitter all the day long, would never say half of those things to me, to my face, in my church, because he just doesn't have the guts to do it. But he can sit behind his little, you know, screen on his phone and run his mouth about how, you know, conservative Christianity or confessional Christianity is just the worst thing ever, and he's, you know, and Christ is so much different than all that stuff, and blah, 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 whatever. But I certainly think it talks and creates this persona of who we are as people, and we essentially become a different person on social media. And so I think when we look at something like Facebook, it's a very similar platform to everything else, right? Facebook's been around forever. Everybody should have a Facebook account. And if you don't, then you're probably one of the luckier ones. But, you know, it's really a very similar platform. You share a picture, you share a video, you have comments and discussions on that. And obviously you're going to get people who disagree with you, and you're going to have people who want to argue and debate you. And then there's these groups that you can create, or you can create essentially, you can create pages. And in these pages, you can have, you know, these calm groups. I don't even know. And they actually, if I get on my menu here, they are called groups. So I'm just making sure I give you the right thing. So you can join groups. Like I'm in, you know, some stuff that is kind of nerdy stuff, and then I'm in some Christian groups. And even in the Christian groups, I find that there's arguing and debating. And you can have closed groups, open groups, and a closed group, it's like, you know, how it's a kind of its own echo chamber. And, you know, I've been kicked out of groups simply for being a Lutheran. I've been mocked and ridiculed for having a Lutheran faith. I've been mocked and ridiculed for believing that, you know, dispensational premillennialism is a false teaching. And, you know, and so it's like, we spend our time doing these things when we could be out doing something else, anything. It doesn't matter. Like, you go mow your yard and be more productive than wasting time on social media. And we choose to sit and bicker and argue and fight on a platform that is irrelevant in the greater things in life. Now, I think in some cases, these are good things to have because it keeps us in touch with people. We can form friendships. We can form, you know, all of these things are great. And I really have no problems with the platform itself, but when we are wasting our time interfighting amongst Christians, I think it becomes a waste. And what gets me, you know, is the audacity that we have as Christians to especially sit and interfight between each other. And we pick topics that are really irrelevant. Now, if you want to do like a debate and like a formal debate and have a formal discussion, you know, in person or over the podcast or over video or something like that, that's great. But to do it within the discussions of the post, or, you know, within the chats of the post, you're not doing anybody a service. You've become a keyboard warrior, and, you know, you're just trying to get the last word. And that's all it ever comes down to. Who is going to have the time to go back and forth enough to provide the last word? And you're not winning souls that way, and you're not going to convince anybody that way. Yes, you may have a great argument, and in some cases you might help sway a person or two who's on the edge, but you're not really gaining anything by wasting your time doing that. And I'm just saying that from experience, because I've done that myself. you don't gain anything. And in fact, what it does is it just creates you more stress, because now you have to come up with, you know, an argument, and you have to counter-argue and counter-argue and counter-argue. And it's just a waste of time. And so I just really urge, you know, discernment and caution over these platforms. And, you know, and it doesn't matter whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, whatever it is, there's false teaching. There is obviously false teaching. There's the obvious progressive liberation and liberal theology that's out there. And then there's that subtle, like, it sounds good, but it's not quite right theology. And those are the things where we have to be very careful with understanding, you know, take it back to your confession. And is this something that I can truly authentically say that my confession recognizes, or is this something that's damaging to me in the long run? And so I think we just have to be careful with that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I could come up with 1,000 examples on Facebook and tell you, you know, be careful of this and be careful of that. And really all it's going to do is do exactly what I've done in these previous posts, shows in pointing out bad teaching. You should be able to, I hope, come across that type of, you know, post and be able to discern it. And I just don't want to waste my time doing that for the Facebook side. And I just, you know, I just felt convicted, and I probably will even make this week the last episode, because I really kind of got my message out that I wanted to get out today without having to dig into the constructs of social media, you know, from a Facebook aspect. And I think what it does is, you know, like I said, I can just spend my time spinning my wheels, pointing out this teaching and that teaching. And we've done a series on false teachings, or we might do one again, newer one, and to help hopefully discern the teachings out there. I don't know, maybe down the road. But what I come to realize, especially in the last couple of days, is just how pointless it really is. And I'm speaking this from my perspective. I'm speaking this solely from my eyes and for myself, not for you, not for anybody else, you know. And if you're convicted, then praise God. But I'm finding that just by and large, the my presence on social media doesn't matter in at all. And I have some great friends that I've met there, and I love them to death, and I'll keep, you know, being a part of their lives, and I'll keep being a part of the things on, you know, Instagram and that for now. And the reason I have Facebook is really just to share stuff for the church and share stuff with my family. And I'm really considering just backing out of every group except a couple of them, and just kind of getting rid of all that noise, because I find a lot of it is just noise. It's unnecessary, and it doesn't do me any good. You know, it's not edifying me. It's not teaching me. It's not helping me grow. It's not helping me learn, and it's not challenging me to learn. It's just noise. And I think that's what a lot of stuff is. And so, you know, I'm not saying that you have to make your social media pages a bunch of echo chambers, you know, but by all means, don't put yourself into a position where you have nothing but noise in front of you. Utilize it to your benefit, and utilize it to either help you grow in your faith, learn in your faith, and challenge you in your faith, but don't allow it to just be noise in your life. Don't allow it to eat up the time and to delay the greater things in life. And I say that with all the greatest respect that I possibly can, because I think what this series really has taught me is the amount of time that I've spent on social media over the years. I could have had, you know, 1,000 books read. I could have had far more time with my family. I could have had far more time at my jobs. I could have had far more time doing things that would have helped improve me in aspects of life. And yet I spent, you know, I bet you all of us, you know, spend more than enough hours on social media every week. You know, I usually leave my phone unlocked during the day, just because, you know, like if I'm sitting in my office or something, that because I have to, you know, look at authenticator keys and all stuff like that. And I just hate unlocking my phone every time. Now I will obviously lock it if I know I'm not going to use it for a long period of time. But, you know, my screen time, just having the screen open, is generally longer than my wife's is, you know. But I'd venture to say if we both sat our phones down and looked at the app usage, we would both be pretty equivalent, and I probably would beat her, unfortunately, between, you know, social media uses, because I have, you know, three platforms that I use and she only has one. And so I say that because, like, it convicts me to say, am I wasting my time scrolling and scrolling and scrolling just to get a chuckle? It's almost like that point where the dopamine rush is no longer there, and so you must run until you find it. And in fact, I dare compare it to say this, because I've heard this comparison before, that for those who are addicted to pornography, that the average pornographic video doesn't satisfy people after so long. The dopamine rush isn't there, and so they must find new fetishes and new ways to entice that. And that's what social media is doing. I mean, it is that addictive that you must find darker humor or more gruesome videos, or, you know, more violent videos, or more, you know, or just whatever it may be, to, you know, to get you to chuckle. And I'm like, man, we need a reset. I need a reset. You know, we say, oh, I'm taking a social media break, and we do for like a few days, and then we're right back into it. And so I'm really looking to find a way that I can just kind of detox, and from a greater sense, allow it to stay in contact with my peeps, and that's really about it. And I'm really looking to pour more time into my family, pour more time into my books, and read more and educate myself more. And so that's my goal, and that's the conclusion I've come to with this series. And I hope that it has helped you, and hopefully shed some light into some of these problems that we have as Christians on these platforms. And really, this episode today turned into be far different than what I had originally planned, but I think that this is a good thing for me. And obviously Undying Light will continue to be a podcast every Friday, as we continue working through, you know, the Gospel of Matthew and into the Book of Acts. That won't change, but my presence on social media in the time will, and it'll generally be used to just stay in contact with friends and family, and that's really about the most attention I'm going to try and give it. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. I hope you've enjoyed this series, and you know, obviously we've seen it evolve over the last few weeks into what I just kind of ranted on for today, and I pray that it has edified you. And by all means, reach out if you have questions or comments or complaints or concerns, and I hope to address those. So we'll be back Friday on Good Friday with another track on the Discourse, and we'll be back Saturday with our Saturday morning reading your Bible on your show. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a great week. God bless. We'll see y'all later.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.